Whew. Man, I get so bogged down in little tiny stuff today. I was a little bit under attack too, so must be good stuff happening here. Otherwise, nobody would be bothering us. But for me, it felt like everywhere I turned, I was walking through a spider web. Does that make sense? That's what it felt like. It was so silly, but I was like, what is going on? Have you ever walked through a spider web and you're like freaking out because the web bothers you, but the thought that there might be a spider that was in that web bothers you more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me today. I mean, silly stuff, but you know, that's all right. God's going to do something good here. He is going to do something good. So the question is, I gave you the title last week. What do you think? Give us the title. Thank you. It does take a minute, yeah. Are we going to talk about content hogs, or are we going to talk about content hogs? Who thinks content? Okay. Who thinks content? Okay, the contents have it. Yep. We're going to talk about content hogs today. Here's why I chose content hogs for the message today. Part of why. Peter Lundell, a few years ago, I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing again, came up with the concept of what he called the knowledge doubling curve. And he learned, I don't know how, smarter than me, obviously, but he learned that in 1900, the sum total of the knowledge on the earth doubled every 100 years. Okay? You with me? Okay. By the end of World War II, it was doubling every 25 years. As of 1982, it was doubling every 13 months. Uh-huh. You see where I'm going? Content. A whole lot of content. By 2020, it was doubling every 78 days. And IBM predicts that soon it will be doubling. The knowledge of the whole world will be doubling every 12 hours. Right? Too much knowledge, really, too much. It's difficult. But it's interesting to me because I think we've become content hogs. Content hogs.
Yep. Pigs still do eat sloth in 2018. And how could we?
Content hogs, huh? It looks a lot like the content that we are consuming. Uh-huh. You see, hogs, they don't care what they're eating. They just eat everything. You put it in front of them and they eat, right? I think we've become content hogs. I heard a well-known podcaster recently say that there's a tremendous, if you're going to gain and keep a large number of followers, there's tremendous pressure to put out new content. Like every day or every other day, you have to keep your new stuff in front of your followers. If you want to get followers, keep followers, and gain more followers, you have to produce content, right? And the thing is, we just can't get enough. We can't get enough. And I'm guilty of it too. I can't wait till my favorite podcaster puts out new content. Makes me happy to hear something new, right? The problem is we're not very discriminating as to what we consume. We just take it all in. We have let this content hog mentality seep into many parts of our lives. Consume as much as possible with no thought of whether it's good for us.
Yep.
Just keep eating. Don't ask questions. Don't look at the source. Don't consider where it came from. Just keep consuming. And here's what I think Jesus is inviting us to do today. Number one, choose your content. Choose your content. just day before yesterday. I got rid of cable a long time ago, but yesterday or day before yesterday, I can't remember now. The days all run together. at my age, I was looking at my streaming apps on my Roku, and I was like, I'm paying for that one, and I never use it. Time to discontinue that one. So, of course, you have to really Google how to even do that because they make it hard. But I did. I figured it out. So I deleted that. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to add one that costs less money, but it's better for me. It's better content from Up Faith and Family, right? It's better for me. It's better quality content. And I can still get new stuff, but I know it's good for me. In this passage we're going to read right now, Joshua is getting ready to die after leading these people for most of his 110 years. First, he was leading as an assistant to Moses, and then he became the leader after Moses passed away. And so he's been leading. He's poured his heart and soul into these people. He has cried with them. He has fought by them. He has taken new land with them. And he is getting ready to die. And he's like, okay, I want to tell you this before I die, basically. Now, you would think that's important content, right? Someone who's walked with you, who's led with you, who's cried with you, who's prayed with you, who's fought with you. And he's getting ready to die, and he says, I got something to tell you first before I die. You would be like, okay, I want to tune in to that, right? He says in chapter 24, verses 14 to 15, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now, you've probably heard that passage many times, but you may or may not know that Joshua's listeners had gotten really comfortable serving God plus all the other false gods, right? So it's not that they turned away from God. It's just they added content to him, a whole lot of content. Well, I'm going to hedge my bets, basically. I'm going to pray to God, Yahweh, but I'm also going to pray to the rain god because we need rain. And I'm also going to pray to the sun god because it's too hot. And I'm going to also pray to this god and that god and this god and that god and this god and that god. They didn't choose their content. And Joshua was saying, it's time to choose. Don't be absorbing everything around you. Choose to serve the Lord alone. Where will you put your faith? Who will you worship? Joshua wasn't the only one to say that. Jesus said something very similar in Luke 14, 25 through 33. This is Jesus talking. Somehow that carries more weight for some of us because we think he was such a nice guy. And he was a nice guy, but he said things straight too. Says, many people were traveling with Jesus. He said to them, if you come to me but will not leave your family, you cannot be my followers. You must love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, even more than your own life. Whoever will not carry the cross that is given to them when they follow me cannot be my follower. If you wanted to build a building, you would first sit down and decide how much it would cost. You must see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't do that, you might begin the work, but you would not be able to finish. And if you could not finish it, everyone would laugh at you. They would say, this man began to build, but he was not able to finish. If a king is going out to fight against another king, first he will sit down and plan. If he has only 10,000 men, he will try to decide if he's able to defeat the other king who has 20,000 men. If he thinks he cannot defeat the other king, he will send some men to ask for peace while that king's army is still far away. It is the same for each of you. You must leave everything you have to follow me. If not, you cannot be my follower. I don't think Jesus was saying that you can't worship with your family. Obviously, we have a lot of families here, and I believe in that. One day I'm going to have my kids here worshiping with me, right? Okay, that's my heart. But if I have to choose between worshiping God or being with my family, I will choose God. I have chosen God. When it's painful, when it's not easy. You see, you come to these places in your life sometimes where you're like, you're at the top of the triangle, and God says, okay, what's going to sit at the top? There's not room for a bunch of content. There's room for one thing. What is your one thing? You are my one thing, Lord. You are my one thing. Do I still love my family? Absolutely, 1,000 times yes. 1,000,000 times yes. I still pour out my love on them all the time. But they know what my one thing is. There's no doubt in their minds. Even the ones who don't have any experience with faith in their backgrounds, they know what my one thing is. They know I love them unconditionally. They know I'll never stop pouring out my love on them. But if I have to choose, I'm going to choose my one thing. I think this is a message that is desperately missing in our world. But Jesus was clear. He was like, follow me or you're not my follower. Pastor Kyle Eidelman wrote a book a few years ago. It's the first one that I know of who introduced the concept of, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Okay? And the title of his book is Not a Fan. Not a Fan, Becoming a Committed Follower of Christ. So I think we have to ask ourselves, when we look at our content, when we look at the content we consume, are we a fan of Jesus or are we a follower of Jesus? Because there are some things that I'm tempted to consume that I should feel in my spirit about, like, no, that's not good for you. So am I going to be a fan or am I going to be a follower? Interestingly, I read that as of December 2022, so pretty recently, Barna Research came up with this that said that 75% of all Americans, if asked to choose, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? They said, I'm a fan. He's a good guy. I almost think that's more dangerous than saying I think he's nothing. Because you can lull yourself into this sense of I'm good. He's a good guy. I'm a good guy. It's all good, you know. But we're swallowed up by content. And it's content that is not good.
Yep. Takes the beat off like. In 2018. And how so it weighs.
That's what it looks like. Why am I putting that message up more, that video up more than once? Because I truly want you, every time you log on to one of your sources this week, to remember that. And ask yourself, what am I consuming right now? What does one of the ads say? Data is gold. Not only is your data gold, but everything you're consuming is gold or trash, slop. I hope you understand my heart. This message is not about putting guilt or shame on you. You know, I don't run that way. I don't run that way. But it is helping us to evaluate, what is my intake? What am I taking in to my brain? What am I taking into my heart? Because whatever you're taking in shapes everything that comes out. Sometimes I want to private message people on Facebook and go, well, it's pretty obvious that you've been watching a lot of highly sexualized content because everything you're spitting out has has that innuendo. That's the word. Thank you. Like, be careful. I love you enough to say be careful. And I hope if I start putting out stuff that is questionable, I hope one of you love me enough to go say, to say, Sandy, what are you taking in that you're writing this kind of post? What are you taking in? Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what he said. So whatever you have crammed into your heart, it's going to come out. So every time we log on to our sources, I want you to ask yourself, is this slop or is this nutrition? Remember when I was in elementary school, they had a big poster in the cafeteria, you are what you eat. But the ironic thing is, and they would put the worst lunches in front of us. The worst, like most unhealthy content. It was fine, it tasted good, whatever, most of the time. But mystery meat, like it really was mystery meat. In the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, you are what you eat. Choose your content. I believe that God in his great love is inviting us to move from hog mentality to sheep mentality. Not the crowd following sheep kind. You know sheep will jump to their death if one of the sheep in front of them jump to their death. Did you know that? They will. They'll just, woo, let's go. Not that kind of sheep. The sheep that follows the shepherd, okay? Under move from hog mentality to sheep mentality, point A, follow the shepherd wherever he leads. In John 10, 7 through 11, Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep. When it says Jesus said again, I usually pay attention. He had said it earlier. If he says it twice, if he says it three times, whoo, you better just do a study on that passage. That's what I try to do. I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep. All those who came before me were thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will be able to come in and go out. They will find everything they need. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give life, life that is full and good. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the shepherd who cares for his sheep. I know my sheep just as the Father knows me, and my sheep know me just as I know the Father. I give my life for these sheep. I have other sheep too. They are not in the flock here, in this flock here. He's talking about us, y'all. I must lead them also. They will listen to my voice. In the future, there will be one flock and one shepherd. It's interesting to me that more than 5,000 people, far more than 5,000 people, were fans of Jesus. They ate the food he gave out. Countless number of people got healed and set free. Like, we don't even know what that number is, but it's got to be up there. Because everywhere he went, he did it, right, for 3 years. On top of that, he appeared to more than 500 people after his crucifixion and resurrection. More than 500. But in Acts, how many were in the upper room? 120. I want to know what happened to all those other people. Were they in fans? I'm not judging them, but I just want to know. Did they get distracted by the cares of this life? Did they get scared because he got crucified? What happened to all those people who saw what he did, who watched him set people free from demons? Like, what happened to all those people? We don't know. Maybe they just went on with their lives. Okay, well, that was a nice 3 years watching some guy do some cool tricks. That was fun. They were fans. They were fans. Oh, I would rather you be not a fan or a follower. That, honestly, it's too easy to lull ourselves into this place of comfort where we don't realize we're not choosing our content and we're still in hog mentality, not sheep mentality. Do you know hogs indiscriminately eat whatever you put in front of them? Sheep follow the shepherd and graze where he leads them. Not slop, grass. Hogs consume twice the amount of food than sheep, but sheep eat much cleaner. Here's the thing, though. If sheep aren't sheared, some of you might know this, if sheep aren't sheared, their wool grows so thick that they will tip over and suffocate. They literally die if no one shears them. So here's the invitation I hear next. Besides moving from hog to sheep, submit to the shearing. Submit to the shearing. It's been interesting to me in my life of following Jesus, and I've tried to follow him wholeheartedly most of my life, I would say. But I've gone through seasons where I feel like he takes me into his operating room and he says, okay, it's time. Get rid of some stuff. It's time for the shearing. It's time. Oh, do you know what a kindness that is? He doesn't want me tipping over and suffocating. He wants me to be free, to run and to accomplish in his kingdom all that he dreams of for me. But I have to be willing to submit to the shearing. In Hosea 2, 6, and 7, God is speaking, and he's speaking about Israel in this case. He says, for this reason, I will fence her in with thorn bushes. I will block her path with a wall to make her lose her way. When she runs after her lover, she won't be able to catch them. See, they were going after other gods instead of following the one true living God. She will search for them, but not find them. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit on that so strong. I believe we're coming into a time in our world where every other source we've searched, we've gone to for nourishment is going to be shut off. And that when that happens, we will turn back to the Lord. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. And then God says, but then I will win her back once again. Oh, I see the kindness of God in this so much. I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and I will beat her. Oh, wait, that's not what it says. No, I will speak. Some of you were like, what? I will speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her. And what else will he do? He will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. Can you see the intimacy that takes place when all your other props are removed and all you have is Jesus and you go to him, and then there's an intimacy that happens in your relationship in that moment. That you stop trying to be good enough to get his attention. You stop trying to be good enough to serve him perfectly. Instead, you're like, oh, he's the one that loves me. He's the one that I love. And from that place, you serve and you love and you give and you follow. What a promise. God is willing to take the time to shear off whatever is weighing us down. He might lead us to a hard place, but it's not to punish. It's to purify. It's to win us back. Our only part, I told you last week, and I'll say it again, all relationships, because I've heard a lot of people say, my faith isn't about a religion, it's about a relationship. That's beautiful. But you know that relationships require two parties. There should be times in the relationship when he is pursuing her, and there should be times when she is pursuing him. Does that make sense? It's not a relationship unless both parties are involved. So our only part is to surrender to his ways. That's it. To follow him, even when he leads us to a hard place. When he challenges the content we're consuming. When in his overwhelming kindness, he brings out the shears to eliminate whatever is weighing us down. The stuff that has the potential of suffocating us. So that out of our love for him and his love for us, we can move with him. I love that Jesus said, listen, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. What if we get to the place where we only do what we see God doing and we just follow that? We follow that out of our trust in him. I believe that in the coming days, we're going to have to choose our content like never before. If knowledge is doubling at some point every 12 hours, we have to decide what's going to have a place in our heart and mind. We can't have it all, right? But then we get to move from hog mentality to sheep mentality. But you know what? Long time ago, before the Cavs used the phrase, I preached a series on All In. Remember that? That was a fun series to do because I think that's what it takes. When you're a follower of Jesus, you either are all in or you're somewhere. I don't know. And there's no life unless you're all in. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no wisdom. It's not there unless you're all in, unless you're completely sold out, laying down whatever he asks us to, whatever he wants us to. But you know what? Be careful, because it's going to take practice. That's why this message is in our practicing theme, because it's not like you wake up one day and you're like, okay, I'm all in, and you never have to question that again. It is such, I heard an illustration a while back that said, most of us think that giving to God is like taking out our wallet and just going, here, take everything you want. I don't mean money, I mean life, but it's the visual. But he said it's really more like when you become a Christian, when you become a follower, God gives you this big, huge thing of quarters. And then he says, okay, I'll take that one now. I'll take that one now. I'll take that one. It is such a process. Thanks for those of you who prayed for me as I went to Akron Bible Church last week. We had a beautiful time of ministry. Deborah and Carly came with me, and we really had a beautiful time of ministry with those sweet people. And one of the ladies that I prayed with afterwards, I just loved her. Misty was her name. And she had such a beautiful spirit of repentance on her. She was like, I just keep walking away from the Lord, and I don't want to, but I keep making the wrong choice over and over and over again, and I'm just tired of it. I just want to be all in for God. And she was so broken over it. And I felt like the Lord gave me something for her. I said, Misty, the road to walk away from God is a long road. But the road to walk back is one step. I said, tomorrow morning, you might have to wake up and go, okay, I'm making one step today back to God. And you might mess up tomorrow afternoon. But if you do, don't let yourself get beat up and, whoa, I'm such a worm. I always make the wrong choice. Instead, go, nope, I'm turning around and making one step back to the Lord. Just over and over and over again. That's what all in looks like. It takes practice. If you don't quit, you win. That's what Heidi Baker says. If you don't quit, you win. Just don't quit. This is my prayer for you. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul is writing this, but it's also my prayer for you. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, that you will have knowledge and understanding with your love, that you will see the difference between what is important and what is not, and choose what is important. that you will be pure and blameless for the coming of Christ, that your life will be full of the many good works that are produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to God. Amen. That's my prayer. We have to decide over and over and over again. I'm going to choose nutritional content today. Tomorrow, I'm going to choose nutritional content. It's like a regular thing. I'm going to submit to the sharing. When I get away with the Lord and he's like, he puts his finger in his great kindness. He puts his finger on something that's weighing me down. I have a choice. Will I fully participate in the relationship and agree with him and say, okay, if you think that's bad for me, it's done. If you think that's not helping me even, maybe it's not bad, but maybe it's just not helping. It's done. Whatever you put your finger on, Lord, I want to cooperate with you fully. If you feel your spirit responding to this message in some way, if you feel like God is really challenging you in some area, whatever it is, whether it's choose your content or whether it's submit to the sharing, whatever it is, would you stand? I want to pray for you. Be brave. Stand up if that's you. Anybody? I just love you, Deborah. No, you're not. Nope, you're not alone. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, Lord, for these brave, brave, brave people who are choosing in this moment to cooperate with you, to say yes to whatever you say yes to and to say no whatever you say no to. I thank you that they want to be, they long to be followers and not just fans. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that they would crave time with you like never before, and that their intimacy with you would grow by leaps and bounds. That they would begin seeing you as their husband, not just their master. Father, I thank you for each one of them, and I pray a blessing of your favor on each of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can sit down if you would like, just another minute or two, if that. So, I invite you to enjoy some conversation, some bagels, some coffee. It's all going to be set up right back here, so it's nice and convenient. You can hang out and visit and consume some good content if you want back there. Some chocolate chip bagels, I mean. And then next week, Dave hopes to be strong enough to kick off our new theme for March, which is called Perfect and Present. It's the whole month talking about Jesus, because of course the end of the month, March 31st, is Easter. So we're going to really focus on the life of Jesus and for the whole month, and end it with Easter, the resurrection. So have a great week. Love you guys. And I pray that you will be strong this week.